At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
It's Real Ghost Stories Online Live with Tony Bruschi, Carol Hughes, and Todd Michaels, featuring real ghost stories from real people. Call in now to share your real ghost story live. This is Real Ghost Stories Online Live.
Well, hello there. After about, what are we on? I don't know, 12 years or so of doing the program, we've decided to do this little thing called Moving Pictures. And I don't know if you've heard of it before, but apparently there's a lot of people on the internets using the YouTubes. And we thought, you know, why don't we start broadcasting the program to you here? So welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online Live, a new program that we're going to be doing every week. As of now, the programming plan is 8 p.m. Central on Monday evenings, where you can join in and call your real ghost stories in live. And we're going to read letters and all that stuff. We'll probably have a little karaoke from time to time. It's no judging there, but whatever you want to sing, we got it for you. Todd Michaels is with us as well. Carol actually has the night off because this is kind of actually our test run of doing this thing. We're actually not technically live while we're doing this, just making sure it's all working. But as you see, Todd's in a cathedral. He broke into an abandoned Catholic church and climbed high up into the steeple.
There's a lot of those these days, by the way. There's a lot of abandoned Catholic churches.
There is a lot of abandoned Catholic churches, so it would probably not be a difficult thing to do, you know, if you wanted to do that.
Very true. Very true.
And I was just talking
with a family member this past week about a little church down the road from where I grew up. Mm-hmm. That they had somebody break in, some sort of rituals were done on the altar, and they had to tear the entire church down.
What?
Yeah, like literally just down the road from where I grew up.
They tore the church down because somebody did rituals on the altar?
Correct.
And it was abandoned.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's creepy. I would think, can't they like just, you know, bless and bury it or whatever one would do to...
I mean, I thought so, but it sounds to me like once it's desecrated or whatever, they got to get rid of it. So they didn't even sell it off to somebody to live there or anything. They actually gutted the whole thing and knocked it down.
Wow. Well, I guess that's really thoughtful on their part to not, you know, not have anybody come in and move into the desecrated church.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you want to? I mean, I would love to live in an old church. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. I think I've thought of it before too. Like I've looked like, well, you could really do a lot of things to them. They're very open concept though. Yes. That's the problem. A little bit, you'd have to put up a lot of walls, I think. And I've come to like walls, quite honestly.
Really?
I do. I've lived in a lot of open concept houses. This is a house that's like a maze. I feel like Pac-Man going around it. And I kind of like it. I don't know, but I like confined spaces and things like that. I find them cozy. I don't know. So I think it would be neat to attempt to live in a church though, for a week. And I think I'd be.
I actually wanted to be a pastor when I was growing up. I'm glad I didn't go that route.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that would have been a bad decision, I think.
Wow, well, that's a new one. And now you just get pretend to hang out in hang out in the middle of a steeple. Like it, yep, really looks like you're in a steeple. It really, that's what it feels like, except for the graves right there. But it does feel like you're in, I can just picture you like in a steeple, like in the ones in our hometown that have now been like torn down. But like up there, if you had like some birds in the background there too, right, that would like some crows or something, ravens. Or
if I hung a huge bell over my head, right? And then I could clang it every once in a while.
And every once in a while, a noose just kind of slips down. And a bell rings in the background. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you would like to share your real ghost stories with us, we would very much like to hear them. Believe it or not, I'm going to read some ghost stories today on camera. It's been a little while, since on any of our regular programs that I've done the reading. You hear me in other ways reading, but live we're going to do it. And I got some good ghost stories, tonight as well. And one that I've been holding on to for a little while because it connects to one of the hauntings that I've always been very fascinated by and you've always been very fascinated by in a little Long Island town. But it doesn't directly, it's not directly connected. It's more like we believe them because we didn't live that far away. And shortly after we had similar things happen to us.
Ooh, I'm interested now.
But we didn't want publicity. So we just kind of like, and it's not told directly by the people. It's told by a close family member of the people that is basically recounting the story, anonymously, of course, but it's an interesting one. So, that is coming up here in just a little bit. So I'll get those all organized here. But let's go to our callers and, we'll hear a ghost story. And if you want to share yours, the phone number is 855-853-4802. Let's listen to this one from Alexandria, I believe. I got to reset that because I don't think you can hear it, Todd. Could you?
Barely, just barely.
Okay. I was pulling it up in the wrong application. So let me open up the correct one.
That's why this is a test run.
Exactly. I'm going to move this down to my... And for those of you watching on the YouTubes, on the internets, on the AOLs, there is a lot going on around here right now. There's a camera there with a screen. There's a screen over there. There's a screen here. There's a screen there. I'm really not in New York City, but it's not a green screen. That's an actual screen that looks pretty creep. I wish that was my view. That would be really neat.
No kidding. That is cool.
I know. Anyway, back to the phone call. And again, 855-853-4802 is our number. You can call it 24/7 and share your ghost stories with us.
My name is Alexandria, and I'm 21. I live in Jacksonville, Florida. I wanted to tell you about something that happened to me every night when I was younger. I grew up with my grandparents, and until I was about 13, we lived in New Braunfels, Texas. When we were living there, we had this really big German Shepherd, and his name was Durango. And he was a very protective dog. He would always be staring out the front window whenever anybody would come to the door. He would just sit there and growl at them. You know, he never hurt anybody, but he definitely made it known that he would if they tried anything. And he was very protective of me. Like, when I came home from school and my grandparents weren't home from work yet, he would be with me the entire time until they got home. So let me tell you the layout of the house. My grandparents weren't sleeping in the same bedroom at the time. At the time, I didn't know why, but I could probably take a few guesses now. But so if you're looking at the house from a bird's eye view, my bedroom was in the top left corner. My grandmother's bedroom was in the top left corner. And in between us was the kitchen and the dining room.
I want to stop for a second there, because what the hell was that back then? I think it's funny where you said, I can think of a few reasons now. But this is like, that was a thing. Like, I remember, like, my neighbors, they, you know, these were, you know, like World War II generation folks. They had, like, separate twin beds in their bedroom.
Right.
My grandparents, they had separate bedrooms. It was like kind of a thing, I think. Is this idea of sharing a bed with your partner a little newer than we think? Because it's...
Well, I think like my grandparents also, one set of grandparents had separate rooms. But mm-hmm. I think also two things. Number one, I think they get to a certain age and maybe there's not a lot of action going on in the room anyway. And so in order to get a good night's sleep, they did that. I will tell you that my parents had separate bedrooms toward the end of their relationship as well, because they pretty much hated each other. So I think there's various reasons. And just by her comment, I'm thinking that maybe they didn't get along very well.
Well, and at the same point, too, I'm thinking of all these people who were, you know, towards the end. I have no idea what they were like at younger ages. So I'm just wondering if that's like all of us at some point. We're all just like, stay away. Just my room. Go away. I don't want
to sleep.
Want to sleep. Damn it. Let's continue on with the story.
And on the bottom left corner was my grandfather's bedroom. The bottom right corner was the garage. And in between that was the living room. From the living room to the dining room, it was open. And so it was just a little house. And the front door was in the middle of the living room wall on the front of the house. And the back door was just opposite in the dining room. Anyways, every night after we would go to bed, about 20 minutes after we would go to bed, Durango would come in and check on all of us. And usually my door was closed, but not completely. So the door was touching the door frame, but if you pushed on it, it would open. And so every night he would come into each of our bedrooms after, like I said, about 20 minutes after we would go to bed. He would just sit there and look at us for a few minutes and, you know, to make sure we were okay and everything was good. And then he'd go to the next person's bedroom. And after he was done with all of us, he would sleep in the middle of the living room, in between the front door and the back door, and in between all the bedrooms. You know, I always knew he was just making sure we were okay, and then he was kind of, you know, being the guard dog for the house. And that was just how he was. You know, if you call him into the room, he wouldn't stay throughout the night. He would always end up in the living room. And so he did that every single night. You know, when he would push on my door to open it, he just pushed it open enough to where he could fit his head through, and he would look at me for a few minutes, and then he would leave. And when he would leave, the door would shut just a little bit. So yeah, I always knew he was just checking up on me. He got old. I think he was probably about 8 or 9, and he started having typical German Shepherd hip problems. And I believe he had cancer also. He got old, and he was going downhill pretty quick, and we eventually had to put him down. I remember that day, you know, we had a big pickup truck and he couldn't even get in the back of it. And like I said, he was a really big dog, and it took both my dad and my grandfather to lift him up and put him in the back of the truck because he was so heavy. Anyways, that was that was a real bummer. It was a real loss. He was a great dog. You know, even, I don't remember if it happened that night, but it was pretty much right away. Every night, you know, my grandmother still closed the door the same way, but every night my door would open. And it would open that little bit that it was like he would stick his head through, and then it would close just a little bit that a few minutes later. It was just as if he was there doing it, but he wasn't there. I was little. It was a few years that would happen every night until we moved out. So I was younger, but it happened for a few years. Every single night, the door would open and then close just that little bit, like he walked away. And it always felt, you know, very comforting, like he was still there. I never really felt like he was gone. But yeah, so I thought I would tell you guys about that. I haven't heard very many animal stories on your guys' show. It's mostly people. But yeah, I, you know, 100% believe that was him. And he was just, you know, he wanted to still make sure that we were all okay. We also had a cat while we were living in that house. He was this really big black cat. And his name was Bear. And he was definitely the alpha male. We let him outside all the time, and he would come in at night. But he would very frequently get into fights. It wasn't uncommon for him to come home with, you know, blood on his face or a pretty big cut on him. And that's just how he was. He just got into a lot of fights, and he was always okay. And he never acted like it fazed him. But one day he came home, and he only had half of a tail. And so took him to the vet. They stitched up the end of the tail. And it was a couple inches long, but it was definitely a lot shorter than it used to be. And it didn't move like a usual cat tail would move. Whenever we had these lawn chairs that were cloth in our backyard. And, you know, he would walk under the chairs, and after his tail got severed like that, it felt, you know, it was a very distinct feeling when he would walk under your chair. It was like a stump going across the bottom of it. And so anyways, he got old also, and he passed away. And we're all sitting outside one day, and my grandma was sitting in that cloth chair. And then all of a sudden she stood up, and she was like, oh my goodness, Bear just walked under my chair. And she said that she felt his tail go under her chair like he was just walking under it. And so that was pretty cool, too. You know, we got both of those animals cremated, and we had them in a little urn. So they're very loved, but I definitely felt like they were always still there.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. I don't know why, but I was thinking of my pets earlier this morning, like you do on Monday mornings when you wake up and you go, you know, when they die, you know, what if I bury them in the backyard? What if I move? I still want to go see my pets. And then I start, oh yeah, could you cremate them? I've never had anything cremated.
Oh really? Yeah. All my dogs have been cremated.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. You know, but again, it's Monday morning. It's just like, huh, cremate the dogs when they die. And they're like literally like right next to me on the bed. So I'm thinking this horrible thought, like, because it's not like I'm looking forward to this. It's more like, I think just like the fear and dread of someday my little buddies aren't going to be here. Anyway, let's talk about the story. Then I'll talk about the dogs in a moment and the scare that we had the other day that cost a lot of money.
It's a good story, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, the pets coming back here. I've experienced it. I would say myself. I know a lot of people have.
And I think we've talked about it on the show. You and I believe you had a cat that you felt was always coming back. I lost a dog. Let's see, Buddy. If you can see that on my worm. When he passed away, I could have sworn that he jumped up on my bed for at least a couple of nights after he was gone. Ironically, today I got a message from a friend in the UK, and the message said, I've not had anything like this before, but I had a visit today from a spirit cat. And she said that she was working in her office and she saw this cat walk through like three times. There was no cat, but she was seeing the image of this cat walking through the office. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, listen, their energy too. And whether, you know, it's a ghost of a cat or a dog, you know, they're in our memory.
Yeah.
And so I think it's very possible that we do experience some sort of ghosts from animals, especially if they're important to us.
Why don't we have like chipmunk ghosts and squirrel ghosts and possum ghosts, or do we, you know, is it the value that other things put on it? Maybe there are mouse ghosts. Maybe there are chipmunk ghosts and only the cats and dogs see them because they're of value to them more like I'm going to play with you type way, like we are with our pets. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a weird way of thinking about it, but
yeah, I mean, well, think about it. Maybe we do have to have a connection with something in order for us to really experience it some way, shape, or form. So,
you know, or if you don't have the connection with it, maybe it's there, but because your connection isn't there, you're not making the connection. And that was also the very slogan of Love Connection, which was
in the 80s. It was quite the saying for a t-shirt. That's
yes.
For sure.
Yeah. That would have been. Yeah. Yeah. Who hosted Love Connection?
Oh, that Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery. Yep. Yep, I remember
that idiot.
That came on after like Entertainment Tonight or something. It was, yeah.
It was a big hit. He's going to be back in 2 and 2. Remember that?
Yeah.
When he'd go into a commercial break, he'd say, "We'll be back in 2 and 2."
In 2 and 2.
2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Yeah, I remember that. Is he dead?
He's dead. He died within the last year, I think.
We should get a ghost box and try and communicate with Chuck Woolery.
I've got one in my bag just outside the door here. So if we ever want to do a ghost box session, I will bring it and we can do it.
How much like prep does it take to do a ghost box session trying to get Chuck Woolery on?
Well, I mean, I'll have to figure out how to get it going and stuff like that.
Okay.
But we can do it. And yeah, that could be a lot of fun.
We're going to try and conjure Chuck Woolery. I can't wait.
Tell him we want to buy a vowel. You know where he really started was Wheel of Fortune was his first game show, right?
Uh-huh. The daytime one, right?
Yeah. But he wanted too much money, so he was replaced by Pat Sajak. But he was actually a singer before he was on Wheel of Fortune. I don't know if you knew that, but he had a couple of hit songs.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I showed you these records.
Yes.
I may have to go and grab them during a phone call in a few moments. So for show and tell, we're in an antique store the other day and you know, they have records and all that. And lo and behold, did I come across quite a horror and a find at the same time. It's a blast from the past. It's a couple that you may have known, loved, hated, feared, had nightmares about. That's all I'll say. They once had an amusement park. They were that big. And now he hawks, water that's going to, I guess, knock out COVID or something from a weird little shack in Branson. But that's your teaser. You're in for an exciting, exciting show and tell here shortly. Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story, and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.